And in Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki for the KFSK News Department. This is Campus Connection. It's our call-in show, and we're joined in the studio today by School Superintendent Erica Clute-Painter and School Board Member Cheryl File. We may have another School Board Member joining us eventually here, but we're going to dive right in and talk about tonight's School Board meeting. And there is Megan Litster joining us. Thank you. Come on in and welcome. And also a reminder to listeners, you're welcome to call in with a question or comment at 772-3808. If I've missed something important or you want to hear about us talk about an issue, we'll put you on the air, 772-3808. So tonight's school board meeting, let's dive right in to the agenda. Erica, you're going to be talking a little bit about the teacher or staff evaluation process and how that's going, and where is the district with that? It's been going on for a while, right?
It has. There were some new requirements that have come out over the last couple of years, actually, from the state related to teacher evaluation, so we've been working on it for a while, and this is the first year that we've been really sort of officially using our new system that we had purchased a couple years ago. That's actually it's an online system for helping evaluators work through the standards with teachers, and then there's also a professional development component of it that has videos of master teachers in classrooms, actual real people, and so teachers can watch those, or if there's recommended things to look at that way. So it's been a good system, and we're working through some of the bugs. There's some technological bugs, like with any system, but the teachers are being very patient, and the principals are learning as well, and so we're working through it.
What's that going to look like for the general public, for parents and students and consumers of the product or the service that you put out, I guess,
yeah.
You could say?
There is a component of it, actually. We will be actually getting surveys out digitally this year, I think, for community members and for parents to be able to provide some feedback as well about teaching staff, which is something we've done kind of with paper in the past, and we always ask for student input, but I think we'll broaden that a little bit, and that's actually a requirement. So we'll be doing that as well, and it's going well.
Okay. Are you coming up against any deadlines for having to meet certain requirements or anything like that?
Well, we do. There's requirements for tenured evaluations to be completed by March 1st, and then trying to get, and then that also has an impact on wanting to get contracts out, I think, from the district for teachers as well in the next month or so, so that we can have an idea of, how many people are coming back, and then thinking about budget, for all those things too. So,
Cheryl, this whole topic is just making you cough uncontrollably. Megan, we won't call on Cheryl at the moment. Do you have any thoughts on the teacher evaluation process and how it's going?
I think Ms. KP covered most of it. It was one of those things that was a mandated thing that we were kind of required to do, and so I feel like we're doing well, keeping with the required timelines, and we have great teachers, so I'm not too concerned about what that'll look like. I hope everybody is content with the process and understanding why we're doing it, but it's...
Yeah, and trying to keep it manageable. It does take quite a bit of time, and teachers are finding that, and so are principals. And actually, Terry Toland and I are both doing evaluations in the elementary school, because I think it's good for me to be doing it and, looking at the future and all that too, so that I know what it's like to try to do it. And there's a lot to it. There's a lot of components. So the teachers are putting in quite a bit of time as well, and we, of course, appreciate them, and they, of course, are attacking it just like they do anything else that we throw at them. They're amazing. One thing that I think, I don't know what's going to happen with some of the components for utilizing test data for... as a component of the teacher evaluation. I don't know where that's going to go with the change in the reauthorization of No Child Left Behind. They are kind of turning that back to states, and I don't know where the state is with some of those, because it's so new. I mean, that really just went through. So I'm not sure how it's all going to look when it's implemented. So we'll probably be learning all that this spring too.
And I just saw today there's legislation pre-filed to remove the Alaska Measures of Progress already. So
yes, I've heard that, and then I've also heard that one, and then I've heard that they're requesting even a pause in it. That was another thing I had heard, that somebody had put forward, was potentially putting forward some legislation to maybe not throw out everything, but maybe to take a pause and rework, because there were glitches, mm-hmm. as we all know. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see. This is going to be an interesting spring with all these changes.
Things are moving. Cheryl, any thoughts on that topic?
No, I don't have it. They covered it well.
Okay. You also will be in a closed session evaluating the superintendent herself, Erica. What's your status as superintendent? Are you're on for this year? Are you coming back next year as superintendent? Let's ask the board members. What
the pressure is on.
Is there anything you can tell us that's not in closed door executive session about who your superintendent will be next year?
I don't have any information to share right at this moment.
Okay.
What I think I can say is that it is standard to do a superintendent evaluation in January. So we are doing that as we would any year in accordance with our schedule. I think we could easily say we're happy with how things are going. And I think we're looking at another good school year right now, and things are going well.
Okay.
So we will be able to share more later, I suppose. Yeah.
Okay. Cheryl, can we get you some water? Okay. Erica, you're on a one-year contract for this year, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So, all right.
Yeah.
So still up in the air for that for next year. Okay. So that'll be a closed-door executive session, and we'll hope to hear more on that later after that. Also tonight, the board is going to be talking about setting board goals, and this is a process that you have to set up, I think. Can you tell us a little bit about how that goes and what you need to do for board goals?
Sure. That's, you know, a standard thing that we would do every year and reevaluate, just like with any other organization, to constantly evaluate yourself and set goals for the next year. But I think we were kind of talking about formalizing that process a little bit, and that is something we worked on during our work session with the person from the Association of Alaska School Boards in October. So we started to talk about goals. We all kind of had some homework to follow up on, so we're in the process of following up on our homework so that we could more formally set them. And nothing, you know, that would be surprising or shocking to anyone, basic sort of goals about our performance and moving the district forward. Easy peasy stuff.
Things like involving students more in school board meetings, things like that.
Things like that. Things like involving the community more. Things about maintaining a healthy budget and monitoring the legislative session and how that impacts our district. Things about our own, more about our performance in terms of organization and how we conduct work sessions when we do that kind of thing, how we stay on track with just keeping our calendar up to speed. There's a lot of things that are on the set board calendar, such as the superintendent evaluation, which happens in January, and negotiations, budget, finance, all of those things that happen during the year. So making sure that we're sticking with our calendar, that we are constantly learning. Am I covering it all?
Cheryl, is she getting it pretty well?
I'm getting there.
Okay.
Basically, it's reviewing stuff and then trying to make what we're doing better. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just trying to make up what we're doing better and try and get more people involved in what we're doing would be nice, too. Better way to get people involved.
And I think
that
that's
just
one of the
sense.
Things on there, too. Yes, because one of the issues was talking about, for example, policy, the policy committee, and that's become something that over the years has sort of ebbed and flowed depending on needs. I've been involved in it as a principal over the years, too, in reviewing policy. You know, we've gone through a difficult situation this last fall, and there's other, you know, there's always something with policy coming up to deal with. And I think that was one of Cheryl's things to do for homework, too, was maybe to look at, you know, thinking about ways to construct a committee that has different types of representation, you know, depending on the policies or what's going on, or, you know, are we just updating a few, or are we actually looking at creating new or changing something substantially, which, you know, can be difficult.
Current policy committee has school board members, staff, and teachers, members of the public who are...
We've had teachers in the past. We've had members of the public in the past.
Members of the administration.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the board wanted to discuss a little bit tonight at the meeting, too, was just thinking about wanting to have a little bit more community input, but also keeping it a manageable size. Mm-hmm. I think that's something to consider, too, that was a recommendation that came from the conference last fall, I think, too. They talked about that.
Yeah, and the idea that we would like for people to participate who have an interest generally in the district, in the policy, maybe not necessarily, you know, I have an issue with one single issue that I, and just like with any board member, the idea is that it would be a group of people who could work on several policies throughout that year or throughout that period of time, so that we could tackle several issues and not necessarily just to focus on one task. Yeah. So that was a big topic at our conference. I think we all are just fresh off of that, that we are serving the whole community, we're representing the whole community, and we want the people to feel like they have a voice. So that is one way that they can exercise their voice.
Right. You had mentioned the budget process in the legislature. There's no budget discussion on tonight's agenda, but we did just hear a big decision out of the Alaska Supreme Court on funding for school districts. And, of course, we have a presentation coming up on Friday about the Alaska fiscal crisis, so people can learn more about that. Thoughts from school board members or the superintendent about the budget going into the process this year and what you're expecting next year? Everyone's talking about more cuts coming down the line, I think. Mm-hmm. Erica, have you started drafting a budget yet? Or
we are... It's very preliminary because, again, we are so low on information, which is kind of what happened last year, really into June, for school districts was challenging. What we're kind of hearing right now is they're talking about having, which is just amazing, but having districts really sort of be like, okay, we're going to fight for to maintain sort of a status quo. As far as, you know, per pupil expenditure and that sort of thing. So that's kind of frightening a little bit, you know, that you think this is what, I mean, that that's what we should be actually just really advocating and fighting for, not really sort of fighting for even more, but really fighting for kind of that status quo, which again, I mean, it's not ideal, but I guess from that perspective, it would also be good to know sooner than later, because that makes it really difficult, and it's one of the things that happened last year. You know, we were trying to make decisions about hiring and not wanting to hire too many and not knowing. But actually what's happened this year is we've been a bit understaffed, to be honest. Mm-hmm. We came in, which was great. We ended up with a lot more students in October than we anticipated, which was wonderful. But our teachers are busting at the seams. And it's been a challenging year that way. So, you know, so then we're wanting to look at trying to address that for next year, potentially even hiring additional staff and not really having a good idea of that future budget. So it makes it the planning.
I can't remember. Did the governor's proposal have cuts proposed in his budget that he came out with in December for K through 12? I know it had some pre-K cuts.
Yes, it was mostly on that end as far as school. And I don't know that he went so far as to, I mean, I think it was kind of that same thing of, you know, expect to, we're going to hope to stay on track, kind of where we are was the basic message that I got from it. But it'll be interesting. I'm actually, well, I think the board's going up for legislative fly-in here maybe in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm headed up there February 6th, myself and Mara Lutomsky, and I was able to go last year, so I thought it would be good to go another year. Now I kind of understand what I'm doing and hopefully can be a little bit more productive up there. But, you know, going in last year, what we were talking about maintaining that one-time funding, and we came out of it, the message we came back with was be lucky to get anything. And so this year our perspective is different. It's like Erica said, it's much more of hopefully we can hold steady where we're at and not take cuts. I think a couple of important things for our community to know is that Petersburg Schools has budgeted really conservatively. Like Erica said, we, if anything, we're understaffed this year. The good thing about that is that the budget is holding for us, so that is really good. But it's hard on the teachers, and I won't blabber on and on. But one other thing, spring, I sat in on an accreditation meeting for the high school, and one of the things that these professionals came down and said is that our teachers in the high school are performing at the very best, and there's not much more we could ask them to do because they're doing so much. And that speaks to us being understaffed. It speaks to us having excellent teachers, but the idea of looking at staffing, even with the budget being scary, I think is important. So yeah. I thought I should put that plug out there for how hard they're working, but I also don't want people to panic because we are budgeting really conservatively. And we're going to go learn a lot in February and try to bring back information. I hope people will keep listening and participating more, and in terms of just listening to the board meetings on the radio or coming down and or chatting with us, because I think there's going to be a lot of regular news pouring in about the budget.
It's going to be an interesting session, to say the least. I mean, the decisions that the legislature has to make with all the proposals out of the governor, new and different taxes and increased taxes he's proposed. And so, it's going to be fast and furious, I think, up there in Juneau.
I think so, too.
Anything else on the budget we should talk about? Or no? There's a potential change in the calendar, but it's just for in-service days. Is that right? Or
Yes. So one of the things that over the last few years we've really realized, even when I was the principal in the elementary school, and it was a lot of mandates are coming out from the state, and they continue to increase every year, and nothing is really taken off the plate. So they're all really good trainings. Aaron's Law that just came out, and related to providing additional support for students in areas of sexual assault and that sort of thing, all good, increases in suicide prevention training, increases in CPR and first aid courses, anyway, all very, very valuable trainings, but again, nothing's being taken off the list, so the regular kinds of trainings that were required by the state to do are not being taken off. So, for example, last fall in August, we had 3 days of in-service before school, and 2.5 days of that were taken up with mandated requirements. So that is a huge increase over time, and then it doesn't allow us to spend time on our own curriculum or looking at student performance in our own district and doing planning for our own district. So we try to do a lot of those things if we can on the early release Fridays, but again, it's really not enough time. By the time you get kids out the door and they've called 5 times because they forgot their lunchbox, and there's interruptions, and then you just sort of sit down to get started working on something and you're out of time. So we're proposing looking at our calendar and potentially, and I'm saying potentially because we want feedback on this, but we want it out early enough. Thinking about potentially changing the way we do our Fridays, maybe not doing early releases on Fridays, but looking at rather having a day a month instead that's more of a non-interrupted time for staff that everybody can plan on to really sit down and dig in and work on these things and potentially have more time for local initiatives as well.
So that would be a day off for students.
It would be.
But yes, other Fridays would remain or would be extended to be a normal day.
Yes, exactly. So that's a big change because that early out Friday has been that way since I've been here. So this is my 15th year here, and I think it was in place before I came. So, again, there'd be a lot of things to consider. You know, there's childcare issues to consider. There's scheduling issues. But it's January, so that's, six, 7 months away. So... Mm-hmm. Wanting to get feedback, wanting to do some planning early with childcare, with dance and Girl Scouts and all the other things that go on in our community, and Parks and Rec, all that kind of thing. So I think it's a way we could recapture some better professional development time. And then, then families could also plan on that day for, either maybe a vacation or a trip of some sort
or even
doctor appointments or, that sort of thing, too. So it could be beneficial. We've gotten a little bit of feedback. We've kind of floated it out there with a few people, and we haven't had too much negative response at this point. But, again, we need to hear, thoughts from people about it. So
Friday is a frequent travel day at the high school anyway for sports teams
it is.
As well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep.
And
so
the in-service day may not necessarily be on a – it could be on a Monday.
Could be on a Monday, too. Yeah. And we actually tried to even look at some – possible dates out there, like maybe trying to make some of those days coincide with, say, a President's Day or a Martin Luther King Day that might work better for families, but then, maybe scheduling days around that or trying to look at activities that might have a large number of students out of town already and then trying to work around that. So, yeah. So it'd be something new.
Yeah.
So something different to consider.
Definitely want to talk with parents out there. So if you see us and you have input, let us know.
Yep.
Okay. Cheryl, any early thoughts on that or no? No. Okay. But
she's breathing.
It's good to hear you're not coughing. What else are you going to talk about tonight's agenda? Are we missing anything important?
I can add something. We have an added section on the agenda that says special recognition.
Okay.
That just is we decided to put that in there so that we have an opportunity to recognize student staff. Whoever, so for what good things have been going on. I think we do it a lot at the beginning anyway, but sometimes we don't do staff or so.
Yeah.
I like that. It's just like a personal happy thing because it's always good to talk about what people are doing really well.
And as part of our board goals.
Okay,
yes, it was.
Great.
So,
recognize people.
Okay.
And also, this is new. The committee reports,
yeah.
we talked about that.
Which
is what? You're going to hear from the various district committees during the meeting?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I can't talk so much. Another opportunity that was one of our board goals and also ties back into the things that we talked about at the conference of how to structure committees and make sure that the board members are actively participating and then reporting back to the rest of the board. Some committees meet once a year, some meet much more frequently, so we just want to make sure that we're hearing from each of the board members on the committee they're a part of about their activity on there and any updates that we may need.
Okay.
So there may not be updates every
mm-hmm.
time,
right.
But we thought we'd just leave them all on there so that it's kind of a reminder for everybody, too, to say, oh, yeah,
right.
I am on that committee, or no, we haven't had any action, or oh, that's a committee that meets only once a year, or, that sort of thing. So it may not be a report every time, but anyway.
It's another way for us also to make sure that the community is hearing about what we're doing, what's going on at the district. A lot of times we go to a committee meeting and we go home and there was no action, so we forget to talk about it, but
sure.
There's still a lot of stuff happening.
Sure. Okay. Great. And we miss anything important to highlight for the public as we look through the agenda?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Maybe we have an opportunity on the radio. So maybe one other thing I could add, I don't know, every school over the last month or two actually has been gathering or confirming, I guess, contact information for families, for parents, and even for students, especially in high school and some in middle school, with the Code Red system, the community-wide emergency system. We were talking with Sandy Dixon at our crisis committee meeting last fall, and thinking of ways, you know, different districts, some districts actually purchase their own. In fact, I think Ketchikan has one. I think it's called Code Blue. But Sandy said that we could actually tie in with the system that's currently in place, but actually create groups within that that are school groups. Like you could have a district-wide group, you could have a parent group, a student group, and just so as a way of utilizing a system that's already here for contacting people regarding things like the accidental lockdown alarm that went off last week. Okay. Again. You know, and sometimes people, if they don't listen to the radio, for example, or, you know, that sort of thing, then it would, you know, automatically you call dispatch, and then it would say, lockdown, you know, alarm, you know, a drill, or something like that, and then parents would get that, you know, just through the Code Red. So anyway, we are working on that, getting that together and gathering and just kind of confirming that information for Sandy. So I just think that could be important.
So someone from the district will be calling you up and making sure it's the right phone number and contact person?
Yes, or they already have been some. Okay. But I think if people are concerned about that, or if they haven't done that, maybe updated for, you know, or haven't heard from somebody and they want to make sure that their information is correct, they could contact each individual office about that. So
it's good to know, because there are so many scams out there and people calling for weird information that you shouldn't be giving out on the phone. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
it's good to
so
know.
Anyway,
that's a real one.
I was just thinking about that. So.
Yes. Anyway, the school may
this
call
is
you.
Real.
Okay.
Yes. Anyway,
all right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. School board meets at 7:00 tonight in Borough Assembly Chambers. Thank you to Erica and Cheryl and Megan for coming in. Coming up next, Street Beat Music with Leo Luzak.